Eric, you've spent much of your professional career helping salespeople be more effective by teaching them consultative selling. What exactly is consultative selling?
Sure. I mean, the term Noel has been around 40 years. Goes back to the late 60s. Unfortunately, very few people really use the process. Different people have different explanations as to what it is. The simplest is to go by the definition of consultative, which means to have the privilege to consult. And what it really means to me is that a salesperson will know so much about his or her client's business that they can become a true advisor. So instead of just offering products and services, they're offering ideas and perspectives and insights and really adding value to the relationship.
How would you compare consultative selling to selling methodologies that came before it?
Well, most people will say they sell this way. In fact, we've been asking the question now for over 20 years of salespeople, do you understand your client's needs? And as you'd probably guess, 80 to 85% say yes. Most people believe they understand the needs of their clients. When we ask clients, what percentage of the people who call on you truly understand your needs? The answer is about 20%. So we call it our own version of the 80-20 rule. About 80% of the people out there think they understand the needs of their clients, when in fact only 20% of their clients agree. To us, true consultative selling is when you understand the client's needs and respond accordingly. Most people, unfortunately, present their products and services without having a clue as to what the client really wants.
Why do such a large number of salespeople think they do consultative selling but actually don't do it?
Well, one of the nice things about salespeople is they tend to be good problem solvers. And because they're good problem solvers, they have the ability to bring their clients ideas. Unfortunately, the same thing that makes them good problem solvers works against their ability to determine needs. They'll hear the first need, and they'll start making recommendations when the first need or second or even the third may not be very important. So what they start to do is present before they truly understand what the client wants. So they will say they're consultative or needs-driven or client-focused. Unfortunately, they hear that first opportunity, they jump on it and miss the opportunity to do precisely what they think they are.
What is it that you're able to do to have them move beyond that first problem to identify other problems?
Well, it's really more of a discipline, Noel. I mean, you can talk about the skill itself and the listening and the questioning and the interpreting and understanding nonverbals. Those are all important skills, but to me, it's the discipline. So when we conduct our training programs, we'll ask people to make a 10 or 12 minute sales call where they're not allowed to present anything. Literally there strictly to find out as much as they can about the client. And it's quite revealing because 3 or 4 minutes into the discussion, they're ready to start presenting. And what they realize is when they're forced to ask more questions and stay in the needs determination, or as we like to say, the situation analysis mode longer, as they start asking additional questions and start uncovering additional needs, they start to see the value. And you could literally see the light bulbs go off because people realize just staying there that second, third, fourth extra question, they may find out 5, 6, 7 additional needs. And the more needs you understand and the better awareness you have of the client, the better recommendations you make, the better relationships you build, the fewer objections you run into, the more deals you close. I mean, situation analysis, needs development, whatever you want to call it, that's what drives the entire process. And consultative selling is all about situation analysis.
I'm sure that it's one thing to do consultative selling in the workshop. It's quite another thing to do consultative selling out there in the real world. Have you sort of done research to follow salespeople to see that they actually do implement consultative selling when they get back into the workplace?
Our clients force us to do that, as they should. I mean, they're spending significant money and investing a lot towards their people. We find when there is reinforcement in the workplace, then the stuff really sticks. The worst thing that could happen is when someone goes through a 2 or 3 day training program and go back and don't have a manager who's supporting what they're doing or an environment or organization that believes in the concepts. When the manager is coaching, when the concepts are reinforced on a regular basis, people use the skills. And one of the reasons they use the skills is that the results are obvious. They're going to close more deals. They're going to have better relationships with their clients. They're going to bring in better recommendations, all the things that you would hope would happen. And one of the nice things about sales training is that it's quantitative. I mean, you can see the results almost immediately. So we find with proper reinforcement and with an organization that supports what they're doing, this stuff can really take hold.
When you work with clients, do you make sure that you get managerial commitment to follow up after the workshop Otherwise, it would seem to me that there's the possibility of your reputation being on the line if they don't, in fact, follow through.
In fact, we don't always do this, but quite often we'll encourage an organization to put all their managers through coaching. And sometimes we'll say, if you're not going to have the managers experience our coaching skills program, then we won't advise that you put the salespeople through the training. Because without the reinforcement, it's not going to take, and I don't want the client coming back to me a year later complaining. And most organizations realize this. And coaching skills may be the most important skill set any manager has, not just a sales manager, but any manager, because people are screaming for feedback. I think we've never been very good at giving our people feedback. I think in the last 10 to 20 years, it's gotten even worse, because everybody is so overloaded and so busy and doing so many things, they don't take the time to coach their people. Yet the research indicates that young creative people want feedback. Read one survey where they said it was the single most important thing that people need, is what they call an intense desire for feedback. So you have people who want it, managers who tend not to do it. It's a lose-lose. When managers coach their people regularly, and I'm not talking about the performance appraisal once or twice a year, I'm talking about that quarterly or even monthly coaching session, which doesn't have to be a major investment in time. It could be 10 to 12 minutes, sitting down with someone, reinforcing what they do well, identifying areas to improve, suggesting ways and means to get there, dealing with the pushback, getting commitment, the straightforward things we ask managers to do. That's when behavioral change happens, and that's when organization change happens.
Yeah. A lot of people say that the most important role in the sales force is the first line sales manager. What's your opinion about that?
It's not a fair analogy, but I had the opportunity to work in a chemical plant when I was a trainee at a large chemical company many, many years ago. And the foreman was the key player in the chemical plant, that frontline supervisor. And in the same exact way, the frontline sales manager is my most important person in the sales organization, because he or she makes it happen. And without good frontline sales managers, you could have great national sales managers and VPs, even regional VPs or regional managers. That frontline manager, that district manager, that territory manager, the one who's riding with the people, helping the people grow, giving the people feedback, listening to the people's problems, motivating them, getting them excited about the job, that's the person who has the major impact on the sales organization, at least from my point of view.
What would you say are the major issues in getting consultative selling implemented in sales organizations?
Really three. A big one is management itself. If the manager doesn't do it and insist upon it, then it's not going to happen. So I think management has to play a significant role in making it happen. The people need to understand it and have the skills to do it. And I think the skills are critical, and I'm not suggesting that training is the only way for people to learn new and different ways to do things, but obviously some kind of investment on training on the organization's part to help the people learn what they need to do to make it happen. And then I think we have to relate it to the compensation program, because in almost any organization, like it or not, compensation is a form of communication. And if we compensate people based on what we ask them to do, and consultative selling is something we ask them to do, then it's more likely to take hold.
In addition to your work in consultative selling, you also do a lot of work in team selling. In fact, I believe you have a book on team selling. Could you tell us what team selling is all about?
Absolutely. I mean, the truth is, because organizations have gotten so specialized, salespeople find it hard to be generalists and accomplish all the objectives that they're asked to accomplish. And what we believe in is the cross-functional sales team, a team that is comprised of people from different functions available to help the customer or client accomplish his or her objectives. And people try to make the whole subject of team selling complicated. It's really two things. It's knowing how to use your resources internally to be able to conduct effective strategy meetings, innovation sessions, tapping into the expertise within the organization so that you have the best possible recommendations to make to your client. That's the internal aspect. And then the external aspect, how do I bring the resources that will most help the client to meet with the client, work with the client, be part of the client's team so that they're getting the best that our organization has to offer. And I think if people can learn to use their resources more effectively, both internally and externally, they start to differentiate themselves. The only reason not to do it is the cost factor when it comes to the external meeting. If I had my druthers, every sales call would be a joint call, bringing in some kind of expertise. Obviously, we can't do that all the time, but when a sales call is managed effectively and the salesperson understands how to facilitate that meeting, 1 + 1 can equal 3 or 4, as opposed to what happens much too often where 1 + 1 equals -2.